This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Bloomberg Government's Capital Impact on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My name is Alan Scott, and this is the place where government actions meet business decisions, online at www.bgov.com or on the air at Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, Thursdays at 11 and Fridays at 2:30. Now, did you know there's an elite group of people who walk the earth? That's right. We at times are in awe of them when they are in our presence. When they're around, you often feel comforted, maybe even that overall sense of security. They kind of give off that, hey, don't panic, we'll get through this together vibe. No, I'm not talking about a member of law enforcement or the fire department. While they do all of those things, I'm referring to television news anchors. Well, we happen to have one here today. His name is Peter Cook from Bloomberg Television. He's also the host of Bloomberg Government's Capital Gains on WUSA TV9. We're going to dive into the mind of Mr. Cook and be a fly on the wall during his conversation with Senator John McCain, hearing what he has to say about the fiscal cliff. But we're kicking off the program with something that is on the top of everyone's minds these days. We're talking about the presidential election. You can take a map out anytime, take a look at it, and color states red or blue. But there's a handful of those states you don't know where they're going to go. They're kind of flip-floppy. One election they're this way, the other election they're that way, and there are lots of reasons for that. How are the candidates tackling these swing states? Well, I've got two people here who are going to examine how they plan on doing that. Melissa Avstray is a legislative analyst with Bloomberg Government, and Dr. Neela Richardson, senior economic analyst. They've written a study called What's at Stake for Swing States? Ladies, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
There's lots of stuff in these studies. Obviously, you're going to cover every single one of these swing states. Colorado was one that you just touched on. Virginia is the latest one. And one thing that comes to mind when I think about Virginia, before I dive into why you did this, because I have my thoughts, but I want to hear it straight from the, I don't want to say horses, because you're far from
please
horses.
Please don't. We'd appreciate that.
But sequestration is gigantic these days. We're right in the middle of it, the thick of it, so to speak. This is really hitting home in the state of Virginia. Melissa, I turn to you. You know, why did we do this? And talk a little bit about sequestration.
Yeah, great, Alan. Thanks for having me back this week. So when we talk about sequestration or these automatic spending cuts that are going to begin in January, we hear these huge numbers referenced, $1.2 trillion over 9 years, $500 billion in cuts to the Pentagon, $100 billion of cuts looming on January 2nd. But for most people, this doesn't really mean much. It's hard to translate how these large cuts are going to really impact our lives.
Right.
So in the study that Neela and I put together, we attempted to show how these automatic cuts will have an impact to the defense industry, which is very important to Virginia, and beyond to schools and communities, healthcare providers, in particular because November 6th, Election Day, right around the corner, and who voters send to D.C. may have a major impact on how this all gets resolved.
So as I take a look at sequestration specifically for defense personnel, we're talking 200,000 or so people that could. We've got a lot of military institutions that employ non-defense employees.
Mm-hmm.
This is big business.
Yeah, so not surprising. Virginia and Colorado, both, the other state we looked at, both have significant military presence. But correct, Virginia by far is going to be majorly impacted by the defense cuts to sequestration. And the president has chosen to exempt military personnel from the sequester. So our study really looked at the specific cuts to civilian personnel who will likely to feel the impact of sequestration through hiring freezes and furloughs. And yeah, over 200,000 civilian personnel are employed in Virginia. You know, not surprising, the Pentagon.
Sure.
Southern Virginia.
Oh, yeah, that small military institution.
That minor building.
That's shaped like a Pentagon. Right. Oh, right, that
yes.
one.
What's also interesting for Virginia, $40 billion worth of contracts between companies like Northrop Grumman, mm-hmm. SAIC, Lockheed, with the Pentagon. And those contracts are subject to a 9.4% cut. So we're looking at $4 billion gone.
The arbitrary swinging of the meat axe continues, and come January, it could get pretty ugly, provided a decision is actually made. But I won't even go into that because we're looking at impact going into 2014 at this point.
Yes.
Let's take a look at the from 50,000 feet as we continue to dive through this study. Clearly, areas that need to be examined in Virginia, like expiring tax cuts. You know, nothing major, just some Bush era stuff that is about to go away. Neela, give me some examples of what we're looking at here when we talk about the expiring tax cuts.
Sure. Both Obama and Romney have very different visions of what to do with right. those wealthy wage earners and how that their tax policies should adjust to really tackle this looming fiscal deficit that we've been talking about for quite some time. For President Obama, the key to success in reducing the deficit and broadening the base rests in part in rolling back the Bush tax cuts on the highest wage earners. That is, households making $200,000 if they are individual filers and $250,000 for joint filers. We found for the state of Virginia, about 163,000 filers would be affected by an expiration of the Bush tax cut. They'd have to pay more taxes. And so that is significant. That's 4.4% of the Virginia population. On the Romney administration side, this tax reform would make the Bush tax cuts permanent, as well as exempt certain taxes on interest, dividends, and capital gains. We find in the study that at least 37% of Virginia households pay taxes on their interest in 2010. And so there would be a significant number of households currently who would benefit. How much of the benefit? Well, that's subject to debate. But at least a third of Virginia tax filers would benefit from some of the components of Romney's tax plan.
So let's talk about, we've got the individual taxes kind of wrapped around our heads here. What about corporations, corporate tax? What's going to happen? You've got a face. Yeah. You're making a face.
Well, I think this is actually a subject of agreement between the two candidates,
okay.
though you wouldn't know it by how they speak about corporate taxes. Both campaigns have said that the corporate tax rate is too high and it needs to be lower. And what we did in the study is we looked at the top five corporations that are publicly listed, and we find that their tax rates are pretty high, much higher than the target rates that both Obama and Romney have suggested. Obama suggests lowering the tax rate from the current 35% to 28%, and Romney would go further still down to 25%, much lower than what these top corporations are paying now in the state of Virginia.
It's kind of surprising, and I recently had an opportunity to drive through the great state of Virginia, and I don't know why it's called a swing state, because I saw far more Romney signs than I did Obama signs, but I don't know, I'm one of those people that would put a sign in my front yard displaying my political preference.
Well, Virginia is a diverse state,
right.
for sure. Northern Virginia has a significantly different economy
right.
than the rest of the state, and that probably, I know where you spent your weekend, and so that probably accounts for the number of Romney signs.
What are you saying? I'm an elitist and spent my weekend in a place that... All right, we'll just leave that alone. And we'll move on to housing as we continue to talk about this. Housing is a major issue nationwide, and especially as you take a look at these swing states. There's some programs that the president implemented, HARP, HARM, to name a few. There's question marks about whether they actually did do what they were intended to do. Meanwhile, Romney is saying, you know what, let's just let it hit rock bottom and sell off everything. There's got to be a happy medium in there somewhere.
Let's hope so. And actually, Romney's position on housing has edged closer to the president's in recent weeks.
Okay.
So this housing policy is in flux. You're absolutely right. At the beginning of the summer, he said, let foreclosures clear, let prices hit rock bottom. The government implicitly should stay out of it.
Right.
But he released a housing white paper about 2 weeks ago. And in that white paper, it suggested some plans that sound very similar to what is currently being done on the housing front in the Obama administration, that being encouraging alternatives to foreclosure and helping all of those homeowners who are currently underwater and owe more than their mortgages are worth. And so in Virginia, even though the economy has done pretty well when you look at, compare it to the rest of the nation, and the housing market has kept up with its prices, we still see that a significant amount of Virginia homeowners, about more mortgage holders about 20% owe more on their mortgages than their homes are worth. That's, and that is astounding when
astounding,
you think about it.
Astounding.
That's 265,000 homeowners who owe more than they their value of their home. And about 52,000 Virginia homeowners have used government programs to either modify or refinance mm-hmm. their mortgages. And so these programs had made an impact, not as big as we would like to see.
Sure.
And so any changes to housing policy will affect these homeowners, these underwater homeowners in the state of Virginia.
Jobs is also something you examined in this study. I have a take on this. There are people who have been unemployed for quite some time. Lately, a lot of times you hear, hey, employment numbers are getting better. I have a feeling it has to do with a lot of people who have fallen out of the system.
That's absolutely correct. There's a lot of discouraged.
I'm not saying that's good, but.
Job seekers out there who can't find a job. And also, we know that 40% of the unemployed have been unemployed for 6 months or more. And that is hugely discouraging. There's no way of getting around it. And so how job creation occurs under both campaigns is vitally important nationally. It's also very important in the state of Virginia that has lost 66,000 jobs over the past 4 years. So even though Virginia's unemployment rate is low compared to the national average. Mm-hmm. It's now 5.9% compared to 7.8% nationally. Jobs are still critical as they are in every economy. This state wants to see job growth. Another very important thing about Virginia's economy is that 3.9% of the Virginia workforce is tied to the federal government. So any kind of deficit reduction plans mm-hmm. tied to reducing the federal workforce will have a huge impact on Virginia. And that's exactly what we're seeing on the Romney side of this election.
I was just about to bring that up. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, on the Romney side, they're going to manage this through attrition. Basically, for every two people that leave a government employed position, they're only going to replace one.
That's right. And what very smart, very you get an A plus for that.
Yes, thank you.
and what we've calculated in the study is that what that translates to is that over 14,000 federal jobs will be lost following Romney's a deficit reduction plan. Now, the campaign, if they were sitting right here, would be quick to say that this is part of an overall plan to get the economy growing again and produce these private sector jobs mm-hmm. away from the federal government. But still, in terms of the state of Virginia, the immediate impact, we're going to see that loss if there's a Romney president.
So if there was a nugget that I could walk away from this study with, what would that be? I'm going to start with you, Melissa. What would that nugget be that I would take away from this?
I think the most important thing that voters should keep in mind is that we hear a lot about sequestration impacting defense, but sequestration is also going to impact our schools, our communities, our healthcare providers who are all facing cuts. And, you know, when voters go to the polls on election day, really think about who they're sending to D.C. and make sure that these are folks that can negotiate a deal, because these are tough choices that folks are going to have to make between now and next year.
For me, we've looked at two of the swing states so far, Colorado and Virginia, and actually these states are doing pretty much in line with the other with other states nationally. There will be other states that we look at that are doing much worse. But even for these states, when it comes to the election, it's about the economy. There still needs to be a government role. And I think voters are going to be looking not only for problem solvers, but as Melissa has talked about, when it comes to sequestration, they need deal makers.
Ladies, Melissa Avstray, Dr. Neela Richardson, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Joined now by the man who is the host of Bloomberg Government's Capital Gains on WUSA TV 9, Mr. Peter Cook. Peter, how are you?
Good to see you, Alan.
Working here at Bloomberg, you see celebrities or anchors or reporters wandering around.
I know you're not talking about me.
And you go, oh, come on now. Come on. You're
I'm
one of those people.
I'm just a working stiff.
I get it. But you're that guy. You're that person that everyone sees on the television. And I'm always curious to know, what makes that person tick? Do they put their pants on one leg at a time just like everybody else? I'm guessing that's the case because you're wearing pants.
I am wearing pants.
Thank you for that.
I do put my pants on the same way every day. And like you and a lot of other people within Bloomberg, I'm someone who works a pretty long day each day, yeah, covering really interesting things, a unique platform that we have at Bloomberg to be able to do what I do. They pay me every day to cover Washington, you know, from a business mm-hmm. perspective at Bloomberg Television. I've been doing it close to 10 years now at Bloomberg. And so it's just been a great opportunity to witness history firsthand and actually get paid for it.
So that's something that I wanted to touch on. You've been here for a long time, chief Washington correspondent here at Bloomberg Television. You're hosting Capital Gains as well. You've seen the government evolve. What has surprised you?
Well, I think a couple of things really stand out. And, I showed up back in town. I'm a Washington native. Mm-hmm. I always had sort of my hand and watched action here in Washington. My father was a print journalist covering Washington for a long time. I came back in 2000 just as the Bush-Gore election was being resolved by the Supreme Court.
Sure.
And I have seen a lot of things over the last 10 years play out. First of all, 9/11 stands out to me and how it changed this town and it changed the federal government. We have new industries that came out as a result of that. I remember doing reporting on what was commonly called the doom boom. And that is the boost in spending on homeland security and the need for the nation to protect itself, the ramp up in defense spending given what we've done in Afghanistan and Iraq. So I think that's one of the biggest changes I've seen in Washington, and it's something obviously we're still living with today.
You've spoken a lot about a lot of big things that have happened in the area. Who have you had the opportunity to sit down with, and you sit down afterwards and go, oh my gosh, I just spoke to X or Y or Z. Who is that person that gives you those chills maybe after it's all over or even while it's happening?
Well, a couple of people. You know, I've had the opportunity to talk to President Obama. Mm-hmm. I really spoke with him more during the 2008 campaign, and that was that was an interesting moment because he looked like he had the chance of winning. You could see sort of the effort and energy he was bringing to bear, the kind of ideas he was bringing, and he was a new face in American politics. It was a historic election. So I will look back at that and some of my conversations with him. But I got to tell you, one of the things that really stands out to me is a series of conversations I had with Hank Paulson during the financial crisis.
Okay.
And I watched a man who had run one of the largest Wall Street firms grappling with a nation on the brink, and you could see the pressure building on Hank Paulson to do things that in hindsight have been controversial. Certainly not everyone supports everything Hank Paulson did, but he was doing what he thought at the time was the right thing to save the country. And I saw it actually age him and challenge him in a way that will stick with me.
That had to have been moving to watch him virtually crumble in front of America's eyes as this was really, we were in the heat of all of this.
And to his credit, he's a big guy, played football at Dartmouth. I don't think he did crumble.
Maybe behind the scenes.
Yeah, behind the scenes, we now know that there were pressures there that really boiled over. But in my presence, I saw a guy struggling to try and solve problems and really feeling like there was no one else out there to do it. Of course, Ben Bernanke was part of that as well. Controversial to be sure, but I often wonder what it would have been like had Hank Paulson, given his contacts on Wall Street, things like that, if he hadn't been in that particular government position at that moment in time.
See, somewhere my career went horribly awry. You see, you spoke to President Obama. You've spoken to Hank Paulson. Me, the highlight of my career thus far, aside from talking to you, Mr. Peter Cook.
Alan, I know you can do better.
Come on. I had an opportunity years ago to sit down with Mr. Ozzy Osbourne. Very intelligent.
See, I have not had that
smart
chance.
Very nice guy. But the thing that threw me over the edge was I brought some of my family members with me while we were doing our little conversation, and my brother-in-law introduced himself, and he goes, "What's your name?" And my brother-in-law goes, "Hi, my name's Kim." He goes, "Kim? That's a girl's name. What's your name?" And he says, "No, my name is Kim." And he goes, "Did your parents hate you?" I at that moment,
you have whetted my appetite. I need to go find an interview. I need to find some reason to talk to Ozzy Osbourne.
We're speaking with Mr. Peter Cook. He is the host of Bloomberg Government's Capital Gains on WUSA TV Channel 9. Tell us about the program.
Well, the program is about the business impact of government decisions. A lot of what you talk about here on the radio as well. We are really looking at that sweet spot, that intersection between business and government that mm-hmm. is so important right now. There's so many issues out there, decisions by the government that are affecting various aspects of the business community, some positively, some not so positively. And we are looking again at the people, the newsmakers, the policymakers who are making those decisions, and looking at some of the businesses feeling the effect, caught in the crossfire, if you will. And we're bringing our exclusive Bloomberg government analysis to bear here to showcase to people what prospective decisions might mean going forward as well.
I had an opportunity to watch you put the show together. It is a work of art, I must say. Check it out Thursdays. Sundays at 11:30.
After listening to you on Thursday.
There you go. Right after Face the Nation on WUSA TV9. You recently had an opportunity to sit down with Senator John McCain. Tell us about that conversation.
Well, Senator John McCain is someone who, I spoke with a lot during the 2008 campaign and talked with him a lot on Capitol Hill about defense issues primarily. Do a lot of time covering the Armed Services Committee. I mean, we're talking major, major amounts of money spent in this nation on defense. And this is someone who is trying to deal with the sequester threat, feels that it poses a real risk to the nation's security, as do a lot of Democrats on Capitol Hill, the administration as well. So we talked about some of those issues and his own concerns about that and his own efforts, along with some Democrats on the Armed Services Committee and Republicans, to try and reach some sort of deal in the meantime. And what I heard from him really was a sense, I think, that that there is a bipartisan effort to try and deal with sequester, to get a grand budget bargain down the road, but that still remains elusive.
It's Peter Cook with Senator John McCain from Capital Gains right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Everybody knows what the solution is, and that's Simpson-Bowles. I mean, everybody knows that that's the template for what we need to do, but nobody's ready to step forward so far. And I say, as a partisan, it does require some presidential leadership. The president's made it very clear that everything is going to be settled in lame duck or after the election. Well, those of us who have been around this town, lame duck sessions don't do very well. In fact, they're usually disasters. But the only thing I think might happen, and I'm not a total expert on this, but the markets may start to react as we get closer and closer to a situation where taxes are raised dramatically, the debt limit is, I mean, all these draconian effects of, and the reason why we call it a fiscal cliff.
Simpson-Bowles, Senator, there are a lot of Republicans, not just the president, who didn't fully embrace Simpson-Bowles. Are you saying Republicans like yourself now ready to support that plan and the tax revenue increases that were included there?
I think we are prepared to support it as an outline, as a broad outline for a solution. Now, again, when you talk about raising, quote, revenues, are you talking about closing loopholes, which we did in back in 86, the last time the tax code was simplified, and revenues went up because of the dynamic scoring part of it, even though the CBO, who doesn't do dynamic scoring, may call it a revenue loss. But the fact is, a simpler, fairer tax code is something that every American that I have ever met are in favor of. And that means closing loopholes. No, I'm not ready to, quote, raise taxes. But I am ready to sit down and go over the whole area with everything on the table so that we can fix this.
That's Peter Cook with Senator John McCain, taken directly from Bloomberg Government's brand new TV show hosted by Mr. Peter Cook. That's right. You'll find it Sundays at 11:30, right after Face the Nation. The show is called Capital Gains. Check it out, won't you? That does it for another episode of Bloomberg Government's Capital Impact. I want to thank legislative analyst Melissa Avstray and, of course, Dr. Neela Richardson, a finance analyst with Bloomberg Government. The two of them provided plenty of commentary around the state of Virginia, the swing state issue. Plenty more states to examine. Make sure you take a look at their works on bgov.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at BloombergGov or follow me if you want to find out what's coming up on the show at Alan L. Scott for show updates and a look ahead. If you want to learn more about the business impact of government actions, look no further than right here, Thursdays at 11 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. For BGov's Capital Impact, I'm Alan Scott.
Do government actions impact your business? When you need to know the impact of legislative, regulatory, and government spending actions on your business, turn to Bloomberg Government. Bloomberg Government is a web-based service with comprehensive government-related news, data, and analysis. From government spending and federal contract data to legislative and regulatory updates to empower you to make informed decisions. To learn more about Bloomberg Government and to register for a live demonstration, visit bgov.com, where government actions meet business decisions.